Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We always look forward to having your dialogue and discussion, so let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion about the issue. We're talking about a very serious, ominous, theological, doctrinal question today. And I say serious and ominous, and it's because there's such a variety of interpretations for it. We're talking about Genesis chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in particular. And it's the question, who are the sons of God in Genesis 6? Who are the sons of God in Genesis 6? Are they monstrous beings? Are they fallen angels? Did the fallen angels have sexual relationship with human women and produce grotesque, monstrous beings that walked on the face of the earth? Is that what the scripture says? Is that the reason God destroyed the world with the flood, as some say? What does that text really say? Who are the sons of God and the daughters of men that's found in Genesis chapter 6? We're going to talk about that today. And I think it's very serious for us to understand that there is a biblical principle of biblical hermeneutics. That word hermeneutics simply means the art and science of biblical interpretation. And in biblical interpretation, and perhaps you've heard me say before when we deal with similar issues, biblical interpretation is very, very clear that we need to look at it based on exegesis, and that is not on eisegesis. That is, we look at it and we unfurl the scripture. We open the scripture in context to see what the scripture is saying, and not just make an arbitrary, capricious decision based on what some writer has said centuries ago and or today, or because they're preachers of renown, they say it and that's supposed to settle it as being the gospel, and it simply is not so. So we're going to examine that text today. We're going to look at it, and we're going to understand what it says. I have with me today Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here today. Looking forward to what God will say in our conversation with our listeners.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I certainly appreciate being here again on today to be a part of this discussion.
Amen.
It's always good to know exactly what the Word of God says. I want to say good morning to my bride of 35 years and all of my family that's listening on today. Truly, this is a controversial subject among many, especially Dr. Youngblood, because they don't know the Word of God.
That's it. That's
and where
key.
They get in trouble at is when you start listening to different points of view from others who only repeat what has been said down through the years. You can find yourself drifting over into mysticism mythology.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let's make sure that we stick with the context
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen. That's where we want to go today, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. Let me remind you also, first and foremost, what we're talking about and what we say day by day as we face the issues is based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Because in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17 when he says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to grasp and grip our attention. It's the truth of the Word of God that should be the warp and the woof. That is the very fabric and the foundation of what we say and do, especially as believers. It's the truth of the Word of God that's the first, foremost, and final arbiter of what is said and done. And yet we're leaving the truth book out today with most of what is said and done in some of the preaching and teaching that we hear in our nation and around the globe today. We need to be very, very careful, because truth is something that is not sought after, not looked for, and not appreciated in society today. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And some of the things that we say on this broadcast are simply despised, rejected, and out of hand, countered by multitudes today because they're not seeking truth. It is the reason that I am so thankful for former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made the statement. I'll just read the headline of the article that he'd written on that subject. DeMint warns America's decline linked to the death of truth.
Amen.
And so it's as a result of not having truth as the source book that we find so many fragmentary, false, phony preaching, teachings in society today. And one of those is, who are the sons of God? And multitudes are saying today that it's fallen angels. Now, I want to hear from you if you believe that's the truth, and I want you to validate it, I want you to defend it, I want you to tell me why you believe that, where you heard that, and how you can prove that that is what the Scripture is saying. Love to hear from you. Or if you have the opposing viewpoint that you don't believe that's fallen angels, tell me why you don't believe that and who the sons of God are. Tell me what your thoughts are on it, what you've been taught in Sunday school, what you've been taught in Bible college, what you've been taught from the pulpits. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of Bible colleges today and Bible seminaries that are teaching that the sons of God are fallen angels that cohabitated with human women and produced grotesque, monstrous beings. Furthest thing from the truth of the Word of God are statements like that. We're going to talk about them this broadcast today. This is the reason I say to everybody, we need to stick to truth. It goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. That ought to be the mantra of every one of our lives. That ought to be the thing that motivates us in what we say and do. It should be the truth. And that's what we try to do in this broadcast every day, Pastor Davis, as we face the issues. We do so based on truth.
Amen.
It's not based on arbitrary, capricious mythology. It's not based on arbitrary, capricious philosophy or some ideological bent or some denominational dogma. It's based on what does the Word of God say. And we need to stick to that, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply delve into it on this basis. We live in a society today where contemporary theologians, that is the modern, how would you say, the pop-up preacher, the pop-up church, and the contemporary theology today are simply saying anything that will get the attention of the listening audience. They're coming up with all kinds of what I call weird and unusual so-called Bible preaching and teaching today. And I find it something that is gross, grotesque, and bothersome. I don't know whether you do or not. But a lot of the preachers today and a lot of the preacher teachers today want to come up with some new thing. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where he says, I perceive that you're here for no other thing, no other reason than to find or to hear or to say some new thing.
Amen.
And
amen.
I think, Pastor, that's what people have today.
Amen.
Some new nuance, some new phenomena. There are a lot of preachers today that come up with things that they want it to seem as though they have found a unique theological question, a unique theological answer that no one else has found, no one else has seen, and as a result of that, coming up with these unusual, weird things. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's not unusual at all to find pastors and Bible teachers using the Scripture to teach some new thing rather than exegeting the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little hermeneutical lesson. There's a term that's called eisegesis. That means you go into the Scripture with a preconceived idea, a preconceived notion, a preconceived bent on what the Scripture says, and you make the Scripture say what you believe that it should say. Then there's called exegesis. Exegesis means you go into the Scripture and let the Scripture speak. Let the Scripture tell us what the Scripture
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
And it's in the context. Pastor, you've heard me say many times before in classroom settings, there are five things important in theological, doctrinal, biblical teaching and preaching.
Amen.
It's context, 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 context.
Amen.
If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext, should never be used for a text.
Amen. Amen.
And
Amen.
I believe that's one of the things that we need to listen to and understand, ladies and gentlemen, is the text of the Scripture that will make the determination what that text says in context.
Amen. And Dr. Youngblood, you know, that's so important to know. And I thank God for the way that you spoke about that in the classes, even when we had the semester on angelology.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me so much because I had heard it repeated down through the years through some upstanding people
yes.
that I thought a whole lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came down to the bottom line of what they were saying, I come to understand that it was just a tradition that was passed down.
Yes.
Some things that other people taught that they never really researched, but it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I examined the conduct of some of the individuals, some of them only wanted to stand before people and appear to be a puffed up individual
yes.
that had knowledge in areas that other people didn't have.
It's called pride.
So that's right. And so it's so important today for us to know, amen, that context, how to draw something away from that so that we can get the correct knowledge that we need in order to keep us in line with the Scripture.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. It's called study the Scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
That is exegeting the word of truth.
Amen.
But many today are looking for some new thing. And Pastor, the thing that is so discouraging on one hand is that we have so many people today that are in churches that are just simply wanting to hear something new,
Amen.
Something novel, something that no one else has said or found supposedly. Rather than exegeting the Word of God, simply saying what God's Word says in context, which is what is needed. One of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, mistranslated biblical text is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number. Your number call goes right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question to comment. In the Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, we'll read that text in a moment. But this text deals with the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, keep that in mind. Sons of God and daughters of men. Those are the two phrases, two statements that's used in the first four verses of Genesis, the sixth chapter. For some unknown reason, however, it appears that there's a great sense of consternation, confusion, and lack of biblical study that causes many to come to the wrong conclusion as to the interpretation of this unit of thought. In biblical hermeneutics, ladies and gentlemen, we are admonished to allow the text in context to speak rather than seeking to find some mythological, some unique understanding, but just simply let the Scripture speak. What does the Scripture say in context? I believe we have far more preachers today, Pastor, far more preacher, teacher, pastors today that have either never studied biblical hermeneutics or have simply abandoned God's word completely.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the sad thing. There are a lot of folks today, and I've used this statement many, many, many years. There are a lot of preachers today in the pulpits on Sunday mornings that will sit down 10, 11, 12 o'clock on Saturday evening, listen to something online, or print something online, or read somebody's book on preaching and what they have said, make a few notes, stand up then on Sunday morning and regurgitate what they've never studied themselves.
Amen.
Never
Amen.
Studied themselves. And as a result of that, they're simply making the Word of God a laughing stock rather than the Word of God standing and speaking to the hearts and the lives of human beings that can bring about conviction and commitment in their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have far too many today that is simply trying to short-circuit the process of biblical interpretation and biblical exegesis. I think that we're in a lazy society today where even pastor, preacher, teachers that are supposed to be training those in the congregation as to what the Scripture says have not taken the time to study the Scripture themselves.
Amen.
It is a laborious task, Pastor, to study a unit of thought, to study a text, to do the word study. In fact, I've said recently in a hermeneutic class, I usually start out with the students taking a unit of thought, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, and take a yellow legal pad, and on the left column, take every word, says and, but, for, etc. Whatever the Scripture says, every word in that left column, about 2 or 3 spaces between that then, the next word, and then take the Bible dictionary, look up each of those words, write the what the word is about, what the word says, then go back and study those words and what those words say, and then come up with a formulation as to what that text is saying, then outline it based on what the text is saying. What's custom? What is in the context? What is doctrine? What is understood as a theological teaching? And then come up with that outline to see what that Scripture says in preaching and teaching it. That's
Amen.
The only way to study the Scripture.
Amen.
You can't do it just taking what somebody else has said. As I call it, Dr. Divine, Dr. Johnny Come Lately of yesteryear, and following what he says on Saturday night, preaching and teaching that on Sunday morning. Pastor, would you take a moment and read for our audience? Perhaps we have an audience that's not got their Bible open. Perhaps we have an audience today that does not know what Genesis 6, 1 through 4 says. But read Genesis 6. The first four verses for us, and then we're going to go from there, and we're going to look at it, ladies and gentlemen, and see what the Scripture really says.
Amen. Genesis 6 and 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown.
So now, Pastor, that's a very simple verse, a text, very simple unit of thought. But just what does it say? That's what we need to talk about. So what does it say? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this very carefully, and I want you to understand what I am saying and what I'm not saying. Dr. David Jeremiah, a nationally, internationally known conservative, biblical pastor, preacher, teacher, of whom I've had respect for many, many years. My family's listened to him on broadcast many, many times down through the years. He's written a number of books that I think are good, solid tool books. So I'm not trying to diss Dr. David Jeremiah, not trying to destroy his reputation of ministry. But I am here to tell you that what he's preaching and teaching on the broadcast, on the air, and it's printed material, as he has been doing a series on angels and has written a book on angels And if I can digress for a moment, Pastor, I've taught angelology, 16-week course, 3 hours a week, 16 weeks. I've done that time and time and time again over the years, many, many times.
Amen.
So
amen.
I'm not trying to tell our listeners today that I've got all of the answers, but I can tell you when it comes to angelology, I am familiar with what the Bible says
amen.
About angels.
Amen.
I'm familiar with what is fraud. I'm familiar with what is fake. I'm familiar with what is phony. I'm familiar with what is mythology. And what David Jeremiah is teaching about Genesis chapter 6 is sheer mythology.
Amen.
Mythology. It is absolutely unbiblical. It is a misinterpretation of a wonderful text that we need to understand.
Amen.
So David Jeremiah, renowned Bible teacher, pastor, preacher, conservative otherwise. I made a little list, ladies and gentlemen, so that I would not be off track with what he has said. And so what David Jeremiah is saying, Dr. Jeremiah says, the sons of God in Genesis 6 were fallen angels. He didn't say perhaps they were. He says they were. Emphatic teaching that they were the sons of God simply means fallen angels, according to Dr. David Jeremiah. Secondly, these fallen angels, he says, emphatically, and he takes some scripture out of context to prove that. We'll talk about that in a minute, Pastor. But Dr. David Jeremiah says that angels, these fallen angels had sexual relationship with human women. And this sexual union with the fallen angels produced huge, grotesque, monstrous beings on the face of the earth.
Amen.
He says also, refers to Jude 6 to prove that the text in Genesis 6 is about fallen angels. And Jude 6 does not say, does not have any linkage, does not have any connotation of a linkage as a validating verse or text for Genesis chapter 6.
Amen.
We'll look at that in a moment, Pastor, to validate what I'm saying. But Dr. Jeremiah also contends that the sons of God simply means fallen angels. Fallen angels. He further contends that the cohabitation of these fallen angels, as he puts it using a quote from 2 Peter and in Jude, where these fallen angels were going after strange flesh, is the reason that God destroyed the world in the Genesis flood.
Amen.
Now that's a summary of Dr. David Jeremiah's teachings on international broadcast that mega millions are hearing each day, believing that that's what Genesis 6 says. You might ask the question, does that bother you? It does bother me. Why does that bother you? Because I'm passionate about having a correct interpretation of the Word of God. And when I hear mythology, when I hear false teaching, even coming from the best conservative, theologically sound-minded preachers, I'm gravely concerned about it, Pastor, because that's taking place too much today in our society.
Amen. Amen.
Our people, that is, those that are listening to Christian radio, listening to Christian television, listening to Christian broadcast, being involved in a Christian church, they need to hear the simplistics of what does the Word of God say in context.
Amen.
They don't need to hear mythology. And there are a lot of folks that will go back to some of the apocryphal books to validate some of the things being said in a text today and in preaching and teaching today. And some that David Jeremiah is saying comes out of apocryphal books, not out of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In fact, Pastor Davis, I believe I could say this in very short order. I believe that the problem here is that perhaps Dr. David Jeremiah has gotten so busy that he's not doing his own exegetical research work and somebody's doing it for him. He's taking the notes in and assimilating that into his preaching and teaching. I pray that if that is the case, he will cease and desist. I pray that if that is the case, there'll be the recognition that he is incorrect. And I will say this, and it's not said in a brazen fashion. I went online, found their contact information, and I sent Dr. Jeremiah an email just the other day. And I said, Dr. Jeremiah, I've been listening to what you're saying on the broadcast in your angelology teaching about angels and what you said about Genesis 6, And I want to know how you validate that. Whereas any scripture reference will validate that these are de facto fallen angels that had sexual relationship with human beings and produced grotesque monsters, what is the empirical evidence that will validate what you're saying? I'm saddened to hear you say that, because it is not biblical, it is not exegesis, it is eisegesis. And I said that hoping that somehow, some way, it would elicit a response from him that we could have dialogue about it. But of course, there's been silence. And on one, and one part of me, I didn't expect him to think that I've got to respond to somebody that's listening and challenging what is being said.
Amen.
But and it's not for the challenge purpose. It's to try to right a wrong that's being perpetrated on Christian ears and Christian hearts with the false, phony, mythological teaching that's going forth.
Amen.
By the way, Dr. Jeremiah is not alone. He's not alone.
Amen.
So I'm not just picking on Dr. David Jeremiah. He's not alone. In fact, I can go back from research myself, research material, and let's just do some hypothetical philosophical rhetoric at this point. Let's say that Dr. Jones, back in 1887, said so-and-so that these were fallen angels. Never mind the fact that he didn't have any evidence theologically to speak, but then somebody wrote on that subject, and they went back and researched and quoted what Dr. Jones says, and before you know it, you got 8 or 10 people, and before you know it, down through the centuries, you've got literally multitudes that are saying the same thing.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Where you take one writer and what one writer says, another one quotes it, another one quotes it, another one quotes it, and simply by the variety of quotes, then you validate what you're saying without doing your own personal research on the subject.
Amen. Well, Dr. Younglet, here's something I think that would be beneficial to every individual. The Bible says, be swift to hear.
Yes.
Slow to speak and slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law used to say, she had a good saying. She used to say, think twice and speak once.
That's right.
Okay.
Put your mind in gear before you put your tongue in motion.
Amen. Amen. Conversations, Dr. Youngblood, even human conversation, happens in context.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we read the scripture, and as we are going through Genesis 6 today, I won't go through a whole lot of it right now because I know we'll come back to it. When you look at verses 1 and 2, they connect together, but verse 3 changes the context.
Absolutely.
Because God said, my spirit shall not strive with man always.
Right.
Then when it gets down to verse 4, the context changed again, because it wasn't saying anything about verse 1, 2, and 3. It's inserting another idea in there to let you know what was happening on the earth at that time. It didn't tie that verse 4
right.
with the other
well,
three verses.
What's happening in a unit of thought, there's the one context, but then there's the transition of thought within
Amen.
That context.
Amen.
So you find the transition of thought that is taking place.
Amen.
We're going to look
at
that.
And that's where we get in trouble at, because I want to make this
yes.
point. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 say, for unto us the gospel was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't mix faith with the scripture when we hear it, Dr. Youngblood, we're going to end up in the wrong area every time.
Absolutely, every time. No
Amen.
Question about it. No question
Amen.
About it. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it is the what I call the modern lazy preacher approach to Bible study is to simply mimic what some other preacher said or some other theologian has said, not recognizing, ladies and gentlemen, that what is said is something that's been published and published and republished, and it's because of the fact that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been so watered down in so many cases down through the years.
Amen.
So do we want to continue to have false teaching, or to want to correct it? I believe that we need to ask several real questions. If Dr. David Jeremiah and others are right, there's several questions we need to ask. I'm going to ask these questions. Then we're going to come back after the top of the hour news, and we're going to come back and look at the first four verses in Genesis 6. We're going to exegete it in context and see what it's saying. But if this is correct, if these were fallen angels, where is the evidence that these sons of God were fallen angels, because there's no evidence in any of the context and any of the references in any place in the scripture? If they produced monstrous crossbreeds, half-breeds, as David Jeremiah called them, show me any evidence in the historical, geographical, geological, biblical record that this is not simply mythology and mythological teaching. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, then what was happening then could happen today. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the danger. If that happened then, and if it could happen today, that means fallen angels are demons in the world today, and we can understand that they can come in and reproduce through human women and produce the same grotesque beings today. And I say that that's not possible.
Amen.
We're going to tell you why after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at today the sons of God, Genesis chapter 6. Who are the sons of God? Are the monstrous beings, fallen angels, cohabitating with human women and producing grotesque, monstrous, giant creatures? I say no. We're going to look at why right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.